This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, and it's Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be the best night of your life. I don't know if that's true. That was probably way over the top. I was just doing like a radio bit, but it's going to be a great night. It's going to be amazing. The voicemails did come in. You know how we opened up for voicemails last night? And I guess we'll leave the voicemail line open. I came in the studio first thing, and Jewish producer Chris said, "Hey, what words do we have to beep out?"
I was listening last night, and you were talking about jalapeno flakes and pizza. Now, I'm going to tell you, those jalapeno flakes, as long as they're hot enough to burn your bowl.
So that's how that went. We'll go over some of that from last night. We have a lot to talk about. Well, you have many, many questions about the election. In fact, we'll dig into a lot of that right away. Why do people vote based on feelings? Why is there such a thing as mega donors? Why is that a thing? It doesn't make any sense. Corporate taxes, how do they work? The election, if it goes this way or that way, what's going to happen? Is it going to be peaceful? Are there going to be riots? Baton death march, history stuff, all that, so much more. How does polling work? It is going to be a long, awesome night on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. No guests, no nothing, just me and Chris. Anyway, Chris? Did I not say that with enough enthusiasm? Just me and Chris. See? Look, I was like how excited I am. Let's begin. Jesse, a conservative university professor told me she plans to vote, but is struggling to vote for Trump. She says he acts unpresidential, has no respect for the office, acted like a child. So I went into the Jesse Kelly anti-communist mode. I explained how if Dome is elected, it will put us on the road to communism. I was nervous, but she not only listened, she sounded relieved, like I had validated her vote for Trump. How on earth does an educated conservative professor get hung up on his personality? Do conservative academics feel guilt about not siding with commie colleagues? Okay. I want to address the last part first. Do conservative academics feel guilt about not siding with commie colleagues? And the reason I wanted to bring this up is not actually about professors. It's about people, and maybe this is you, or maybe it will be you, people who are right and good and anti-communist, who find themselves immersed in a filthy communist environment. A filthy communist culture. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you're listening to me from a blue, blue city. And that's where you live and work and worship. And maybe you're listening to me right now and you're in college. One of the state universities or most of our universities, and this is you. Or maybe it's going to be you. Maybe you're going to New York. You got a big job promotion. Congratulations, I should note. And you're going to live in New York and you're excited and you want the dirt water dogs and the wildlife, but you're nervous about. Let me explain something. It's fine to go amongst the wolves, to be a sheep amongst the wolves, if you are ready. And if you have mentally prepared yourself, but you should know that there is so much pressure when you are immersed in a culture that is pulling the opposite direction you are pulling, and most people aren't strong enough to withstand it if they're not focused about it. I'm not saying you're not strong enough. I bet you are. But you had better be focused about it. You had better understand that big hotshot finance job you got in L.A. You're moving from the country. You're going to L.A. You're excited. Big business opportunity. Huge money. Good. Good for you. Go make your bread. Good for you. Be aware that the people you work with, your bosses, the people you live around, they are going to make an effort to pull you out of what you believe. And I know it's easy to sit there and yell at the radio right now as I say that and say, Jesse, not me. It would never work on me. I know who I am. I know what my values are. Jesse, it won't ever work on me. I'm here to tell you something right now. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 1 year. When I lost my two congressional races, I moved to D.C. for a year to work in politics because I wanted to stay in the fight. Just I'm all about it. I wanted to stay in the fight. And I was blown away by what I saw in D.C. because I had never been in a super blue environment before. When I say blown away, I don't mean by the left. I know what the dirty commies are all about. I was floored by what happens to people on the right and how they end up trying to half apologize for what they believe when they're immersed in a super left-wing culture. They'll say things, they'll lead off sentences with, I'm not one of the crazy ones. Something along those lines. Look, I'm very reasonable on this, buying into the commie premise that if you're on the right, you're automatically some right-wing, racist, misogynist, nutball, automatically accepting that premise because culture is powerful. Some of the most far-right people I know have gone into environments like D.C., like New York, like L.A., like Seattle, for jobs, political jobs, other jobs, and they've changed. And even if they didn't change, they get isolated, they get quiet, they don't want to talk about that stuff. Oh, I'm not political, when they get immersed with all their Democrat friends. And this applies very much to a university professor. In fact, you should pray for the professors and for the teachers, just the K through 12 teachers, many listen to this show, the good ones out there who are in enemy territory and trying to hold strong because cultural influences are powerful and they work on every single one of us, myself included. Even if you are fortified, even if you are focused, even if you are ready, we human beings, what's it say? What's that? I'm paraphrasing. I don't mean to screw up the word of God, but what's it say about surrounding yourself with fools and you'll become one? Surrounding yourself with wise men and you'll become one? Why is that true? Because the things that go into your eyes and ears and the activities and motivations and incentives and disincentives around you will affect you. It's a huge part of why I've been warning parents about sending their kids to college, and more so, I've been warning parents about sending their daughters to universities, because there are two truths I have learned in 6 years doing this from all of your endless emails. How do you lose your kid? How does your son go from being a normal, happy human being to being a dirtball commie? He marries one. How does your daughter go from being a normal, happy, healthy, beautiful girl? She goes to college. She goes into college. Women are uniquely susceptible to this, especially young, single women, uniquely susceptible to cultural influences. She gets there and everything she hears, everything she sees, all the peer pressure is going one way. And soon that beautiful blonde you sent home to college comes home with her hair dyed purple. She's 350 pounds with 18 earrings in her ears and a tattoo on her neck. And you're wondering what happened to my beautiful baby girl. You sent her into the lion's den and she wasn't ready. That's what happened. That's what happens with university professors. It's what happens with all of us. We have to be careful about the people we surround ourselves with and the culture we immerse ourselves in. And so let me give you a little bit of advice if you do that, because I had to do this myself having lived it. I've lived it. I know what it's like. If you are in that environment or you're going to that environment, find like-minded friends and lean on them. They are there. They do exist. But Jesse, I'm at Stanford. Trust me. There's a hardcore group of right-wingers somewhere. They're probably keeping it quiet. Find them. Jesse, I'm in New York City. Dude, New York City has tons of hardcore righties. Go find them. But it's California. California has like more Republicans than any other state in the country. Find them. Find a far-right group and lean on them. If you spend all of your time surrounded by dirty commies, you are probably either going to become one or you're going to become so soft, you're hardly even on our side anymore anyway. They'll find a way to neuter you because that's exactly what they do. Now, as far as validating someone, I'm not sure Trump is icky. Let's discuss that. More specifically, let's discuss you and your role in all this because your role is going to be different than others. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are tackling those questions right off the bat and everything else going on in the world today. In case you're just now joining us, I'm talking about somebody was talking to their professor. Professor didn't like Harris, didn't want to vote for Trump, but the person talked to the professor long enough. Hey, Harris is going to put us on the road to communism. Professor looked relieved, going to vote for Trump, now felt validated. So that leads me to this point, which I haven't made yet. So here it is, and you're probably going to be mad at me for this, probably silently mad at me. I won't get anybody emailing, but you'll be a little bit resentful about what I'm about to say. So just get ready for it. It can be very difficult to hear if your role in life, your role on your sports team, your role at your job, it can be hard for some people to hear that they have a more important role and a role that's going to require more effort than others. That's difficult to hear. I remember one time when I was a child, I was getting in trouble in school a lot. And my teacher complained to my parents that I would seize control of the classroom and lead them away from her and basically destroy her entire classroom. If I wanted to, if I would get mad or be goofing off like an idiot, don't do this, kids, I was an idiot, that I would say take control of the classroom and essentially steal it from her. And I remember my folks had a conversation with me that I hated at the time. I hated it. I was in high school. And they explained to me that people tend to, for whatever reason, I didn't do anything, people tend to follow what I'm doing in whatever environment I'm in. I have that obnoxious personality type where I will lead any situation and people will tend to follow what I'm doing. It's just they will. It's always been that way. And my folks explained to me that when I misbehave in class, it's worse than when other kids misbehave because I have a duty to be better because I'm a leader, is how they explain it to me. And I hated that so much. I didn't want to hear that. I don't want to do that. I want to be like other kids. If I want to screw off or do this, I should be able to do that. Don't put more of a burden of responsibility on me. I hated hearing that. It's hard to hear that. So I'm about to do the exact same thing to you. I'm sorry. We have lost people all around us. And this is not age or location dependent. If you are 85 years old and you are playing bingo on the weekends around other 85-year-olds in Seattle, you have 85-year-olds who are lost around you. They have no idea the issues, the truth, the facts, because they exist in a system of lies. They are lost. And you need to lead them. You have to help them. You have a role to play others don't have. This applies to you. Sorry, I know it's not easy to hear if you're one of the kids who listen in school. Jesse, I'm only 10. Jesse, I'm 16. Yeah, your friends are morons. They have no idea what is true. They would have no way of knowing. They don't consume this stuff. They're not boned up on the news, the issues, the whatnot. I know you don't want to stand out or stick out. I know it's hard to be bold. You need to. Jesse, I'm in this mom's group. Jesse, I'm in this golf group. We golf on Sunday. Jesse, I'm whatever you are, man, woman, old, young, rural, urban, you have a role to play that is, it requires more of you than it does for other people, because most people are followers. Most people are not leaders. Most people either don't care about learning the issues, or even if they did, they don't know where to begin. I mean, no matter their age, they're almost like babies on some level. You sit and consume this stuff. You know the issues. You know what a CR is. You know what a continuing resolution is. And you're probably rolling your eyes. Yeah, Jesse, everyone knows that. No, they don't. Nobody knows it. You don't understand how little these people know, but you do. You mentioned this lady felt validation, almost felt relief when you explained to her what's happening out there. People want help. They want to be educated, and even if they don't want it, they need to be. And guess whose job it is? Yours to do that. And I know, just like rotten teenage Jesse, that sucks to hear sometimes. You don't want to have to do that. Why should you have to do more? Why can't you just go to work and go to school and kids on the way? Why can't you just be normal like everyone else? Well, I'm sorry. Same thing my parents told teenage Jesse. That's the way it is, and that's the way God made you. You have to be a leader. Every person listening to the sound of my voice needs to assume some level of leadership in their own lives. You have to. I'm not saying you have to be president or a senator or something like that, or a CEO. I'm not saying that. But that's exactly right, Chris. With your circle, whatever your circle is, and your circle is not my circle. My circle isn't Chris's circle. No one's two circles are the same. In your circle, you have to be a leader on these things. And you will find, if you do it, people will follow. People don't know. You know. So you have to help them. All right? I won't say it again. I'll back off. Sorry. Daddy Jesse's done. We have to move on. Let's talk about mega donors in politics. That'll be an interesting question. Why do people do that? Let's do this one first, though. Jesse, I need your help. I took delivery of a Byrna pistol launcher for my daughter. He said I can use her name. Her name's Audrey. Audrey, my 26-year-old daughter. I love it, by the way. Here's the problem. I want to shoot her with a tear gas round. Hear me out. I believe she should experience what it feels like before she potentially inflicts this on another. Also, how do you stack rounds? I was thinking about alternating rounds. Is it easier for you to fill those magazines using your toddler hands? Okay, that's not very nice. His name is Phil. Okay, Phil, Audrey, everyone who's gotten a Byrna pistol launcher. I believe in being somewhat familiar with the effects of these things before you use them, but do not shoot anybody with a Byrna pistol launcher unless it's a bad guy. These things move fast, and they will debilitate you if you shoot somebody with them. Daughter, but that's the idea. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit or a background check, but these things will stop a bad man in his tracks. Tear gas rounds, pepper ball rounds. If you feel the need to do some testing, maybe the ground, stand away from it somewhere. BYRNA, Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. Everyone needs one. Go get one. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. One more word on that testing out the Byrna pistol launcher, I should note. I really do believe, I really do think it is beneficial when it comes to non-lethals to smartly figure out a way to train with it. And the reason for that is not necessarily so you can know how the bad guy is going to feel, but there's a reason. Like when I got pepper sprayed in the Marine Corps, when we were about to get pepper spray, I got pepper sprayed first. They needed us to know how to function should it blow back on us. So it doesn't hurt to know some of those things, provided you do it smartly. Just be very, very careful with these things, because these things are powerful. Dear Mega Genius, been listening to you for a few years. On more than one occasion, you've talked about mega donors contributing to a candidate's campaign. What benefits do these donors get by donating so much money to these candidates? Why do they do it? His name is Albert. So this is an interesting question with a variety of different answers. But generally, in my experience, and I have experienced plenty of this now, it's for one of two reasons. One of the reasons, if you'll see this a lot more on the Democrat side, they have cultivated this environment much better than Republicans have. On the Democrat side, there will be mega donors, oftentimes simply because they believe. They're true believers. They have a bunch of true believers who are mega donors, mega billionaires there. And I'll just give out his name, but it applies to more than those. George Soros, like the Soros family. The Soros family has sunk billions, billions of dollars into American politics because he believes America is a force for evil and wants to burn it to the ground. And he believes it all the way. So they've dug into that. So let's set aside the true believer communist types, because that's really an obvious answer that you would get. Another reason is this. If you are a potential Democrat mega donor, or you're thinking about being a mega donor, one of these people, well, if you have a country, a society that is run by Democrats at every major level, if your DOJ is Democrat, the SEC is Democrat, IRS Democrat, FBI Democrat, all these things are Democrat, then if you become known in those circles as being a mega donor for Democrats, it can give you favors and it can give you protection. Meaning, let's say I'm a CEO of a company. And maybe I'm doing some things that are pretty shady business-wise. And the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, they're starting to take a little sniff at me. But the lead investigator at the SEC, he's a hardcore Democrat. And here I am, mega donor Jesse. I just threw a $20 million fundraiser for Kamala Harris at my house in the Hamptons. Hey, I mean, Jesse's not a bad guy. Maybe I don't investigate quite as hard. Maybe I go tell the boss, oh, you know, I didn't find too much. Not much there. Let's let this one go. Maybe the boss leans on my recommendation. Maybe I'm not in prison because I was a mega donor. That exists. That happens. Maybe that's the staying out of prison part. The other part of it is a financial interest part. Again, we'll go back to mega donor Jesse. I just raised $20 million for Kamala Harris. Woo-hoo-hoo, life is good. I have a new burger chain of Jesse's Burgers, and we're expanding next year. We want to put Jesse's Burgers in 50 American cities, but I need a whole bunch of capital. How am I going to raise that capital? Well, how many finance giants are now completely beholden to the Democrat Party and the federal government? I just gave Kamala Harris a $20 million fundraiser. How hard do you think I'll have to look to find a finance institution that will inject the capital into my company that will allow me to do it? Again, this is how decisions are made. I know it sounds dirty and evil and corrupt, but that's what it is. Now, there's another aspect to this that people find confusing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of on the outside looking in here because I find this confusing. It's one of the things that I know exists. I know it exists, but I still don't totally understand why people are like this. People love power and access. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a story that actually... Maybe did explain it to me. Donald Trump came to town. He came to town, Houston. This was, I believe he was still president, I think, but he was doing his rallies. And my friend and mentor, Michael Berry, he's the biggest radio host in Houston. He's nationally syndicated. He's huge in a bunch of places. But in Houston, he is king. Legitimately king. I don't know that the guy could get arrested for robbing a bank. He's had that much influence in this town for so long. Now, Donald Trump comes to town. whenever anyone like that comes to town, everyone wants special access this and special access that. Well, this was a few years back. My show, I don't even know if I had a show. I was just friends with Michael at the time. But if I did have a show, it was very small, local, just Chris and me doing local radio. We wanted to go to the Trump rally, wanted to see him speak. But if you know anything about presidential security, it's insane. They will cut off entire city blocks, many of them. It's crazy how tightly they control everything when the president of the United States of America is coming to town. Michael Berry makes a couple phone calls. They come and get us at the security perimeter, and they escort us through two or three city blocks of Secret Service, federal law enforcement, local law enforcement protection, like we are Saudi kings. We get escorted by the entire crowd, the entire line, and walked into the building. Once we get to our seats, we watch the speech. When we're ready to leave, as you can imagine, it's a madhouse. Everyone leaving, very controlled. Again, police escort by a very high up in the... Actually, I can say he's gone out, by the chief of police. Chief of police meets us at the door, escorts us city blocks out of the place. Everyone's looking at us like, who are these celebrities who are just waltzing through the security perimeter? And you want to know something? It was really cool. It was really cool. One of the coolest things I've ever experienced. Here I am looking around. I've got my phone out the whole time snapping pictures for the wife. Up, look at this. Look at this. Look at what we're doing. I'm blown away by the whole thing. It's really freaking cool. What is that? Why is it cool? It's access. Behind the scenes. I get to do things other people don't get to do. So if you're Johnny Billionaire, and you're thinking about, we already did Harris, you're thinking about raising Donald Trump a bunch of money. I'm going to raise him $50 million. We're going to have a big fancy event, $20,000 a plate. We'll bring out some singers and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to have a big blowout event for Donald Trump. Are you just doing this because you love your country? I hope that's a big part of it. Probably is. You're doing it because you like Trump. You want him to win. Okay, probably part of it. Good, good thing. But you know what else is really nice? Really, really nice and really cool? Even for Johnny Billionaire, even with the private jets and everything? If Donald Trump gets elected and Johnny Billionaire is sitting around in his beachside mansion in Miami and he's having a couple cocktails with two or three other billionaire friends, Johnny Billionaire wants to be able to pull out his phone and dial up President Donald Trump and put him on speaker and have Donald Trump answer the phone. They want to do that with Senator Ted Cruz. If you're a Texas big shot and you have an event somewhere, you want Ted to come. Hey, it's my daughter's birthday. You want him on speed dial. You want access to powerful people and fancy things. And that's why mega donors do what they do. People want to be around power. They want access to it. They want to touch it. And billionaires aren't exempt from that. That's a big part of why they do it. All right? All right. Now, I'm not a billionaire, and you're not a billionaire, so you should probably switch to Pure Talk because money still does matter to you, right? What if, think about your cell phone bill right now. When we still had T-Mobile, our cell phone bill was $148 a month. Don't pass out, Chris. $148 a month for cell coverage. When we switched to Pure Talk, our bill got cut in half. You want to save money? On top of the fact that Pure Talk shares your values, promotes your values, cares for veterans, their CEO is a veteran, they hire Americans. It's the same 5G network, but save money. Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more money. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I will get back to those in a moment. It sounds like Joe Biden's still doing great.
I'm going to be very blunt. Secretary Vance of Ohio has called these shootings facts of life. Who the hell do these people think they are?
He's still doing the volume thing, and he's not Secretary Vance. He's Senator Vance, and the whole facts of life thing was an outright lie. But what are you going to do when you're surrounded by liars at all times? Jesse, please talk on the point of taxing corporations slash the rich more. Kamala spoke about this, isn't it? If you tax the rich more, the cost to the consumer goes up. Well, look, this is... Dome loves talking like
this. Expanding that child tax credit, or you mentioned housing before, giving that extra money for a first home. If you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to raise... We're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share.
Okay, so a lot of this is going to be redundant for people who know, but for those who don't, allow me to explain. Everything communists do, every single thing, is about attacking the middle class. We don't like to divide society up into a caste system because we don't really have a caste system, but you have your super wealthy, you have your middle, and you have your poor, all right? Wealthy, middle, poor. Well, there are things about the poor. The poor have needs. The poor can be bribed and can be bought more easily than others can. That's just a human nature thing. It's very, very difficult to be ideological about anything when you can't feed your family, you can't afford the rent, you can't. As soon as the idea of need takes over, well, you can be bribed and you can be bought. And so let's eliminate the poor. They love that because the poor, government check, own them for life. Okay, so poor in their camp. Wealthy. I'm not going to play all that Mark Cuban stuff I was playing for you last night, but the uber, uber wealthy, as much as Democrats love to campaign against billionaires and major corporations and uber, uber wealthy, don't think it's an accident that most of the billionaires, most of the CEOs, almost every single one of the Fortune 500 companies are led by Democrats and donate to Democrats. Why? Because once you have managed to merge your corporate world, your business environment with the government, it's not supposed to be like that, but since we have a gangster capitalism system now, the government overregulates and overly controls the private sector. Once you get there, inevitably the corporate world will align itself with the government for its own existence. Remember that story I told you that one time about the major company that was going to pass a vax mandate but didn't want to? Why were they going to do it? $1 trillion government contract was on the line. Once government controls you, well, then you're already finished. The super, super wealthy, the Mark Cubans of the world, why are they such lickspittle Democrats? Because they have to be if they want that next business deal, if they want to keep their billions, if they want to avoid an investigation. Communists love billionaires. They rail against them, but they love them. They're the whole backing of the party. They love billionaires. They love poor people. But who do they actually despise? The middle class. They always have. It's not unique to America. Stalin did, Mao did. They despise people who have enough money to be independent, but not so much money they need the government for their continued existence. Mark Cuban has to kiss Kamala Harris's rear end. Joe Plumber, the guy who started his own plumbing business, he's got 5-6 employees doing pretty well for himself. They did $2 million in sales last year. He's got enough money to pay all his bills. They took a nice little vacation down to Myrtle Beach. He doesn't need the government's help. He's not so poor he needs a welfare check. That guy's a freaking problem because that guy doesn't need me, the politician, for anything. So what do? Well, you have to destroy him. You have to make him poor. You can't really make him rich, but you need to make him poor. So you pass these terrible regulations on to the business environment huge companies like Google and Nike and whatever, they love regulations. Walmart, they love regulations. They have an army of lawyers and accountants that can work their way around any regulation or any tax you put down on them. And if you actually put a financial burden on them, as you mentioned in the email, they'll just pass that along to the consumer and raise prices. It's not like they're going to lose profits over the whole thing. But you know who can't withstand the regulations? You know who doesn't have an army of lawyer and accountants? The Joe Plumber guy. He's got one accountant. He's got one lawyer, and that $500 an hour hurts that he has to pay him. And if you put too many regulations on Joe Plumber, he eventually has to stop, close his business, go back, be a worker bee, and eventually find himself beholden to the powers that be. Democrats rail against the rich and the billionaires because they know human nature is jealous. We have envy. It's part of our nature. It's not a good part. It's a bad part of our nature, but it is human nature. See that car that's nicer than yours? You get a little jealous. The house that's nicer, the wife that's prettier, the husband who makes more money. Envy is a natural thing for us. We're all inclined to be that way on some level. And what Democrats do is they play on that and they tell you, look at the billionaires. Give me more power. Let me destroy that billionaire. They have no intention of destroying the billionaire. They have every intention of destroying you. The billionaire bought his way into their good graces a long time ago. They're never going after the CEO of Google. They're always coming after you. And yes, every time they raise taxes on corporations, on billionaires, all that does is make your life more expensive. I promise you, the billionaire's not giving up his private jet to Barbados this year. I guarantee you. All right? We still have 2 hours left. I want to discuss the deportation of illegals. Someone thinks they have a way we can help with that. And how does polling work? That, the baton, death march, and more. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.